Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Got some guests for you coming up. A man I like to call the North American treasure of coaches, Nick Nurse. If you don't know his story, you're going to want to tune in. He's awesome. Like, if you just want cool stories, and we'll talk NBA and all the different possibilities because we'll get into that in a second, you're going to want to hear Nick Nurse. Same for Chris Bosch, who's got this cool YouTube show going on right now that's kind of like a sports version of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So we'll talk to him. We'll talk to him about playing Kobe in his 81-point game. We'll talk to him about a bunch of stuff, some great story time. I got you two good storytellers today, okay? Bergman, are you okay with that? Two good storytellers today?
All I want is good storytellers, so yes.
Okay, good. Laura, you okay with two good storytellers today?
I'm with it, man.
All right, let's do it. So this segment brought to us by Straight Talk Wireless, where they don't play any games. The NBA will be playing games soon, it seems like. We'll get to that in a second. But get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right. So over the weekend, this is what we've figured out. We have figured out that the NBA's return is not a matter of if, but when at this point. And then the question is, all right, how are they returning? So on May 29th, which is this Friday, the Board of Governors will have a meeting. They will be talking over basically the strategy on how to get this all done. And they'll do their cost-benefit analysis on what should be done, what shouldn't be done. And to me, it's very simple. And I've been saying this and I've been pounding the table on this for weeks. Yeah, well, months now. We've been at this for 3 months. That when the NBA returns, just do the playoffs. It's just that simple. All right? It is the shortest way to do this. By the way, it's also the cheapest way to do this from a league standpoint, from a team standpoint. And, of course, the most important part of this, it's the safest way to do this. The less people you have, the less potential you have of having to stop play or having guys have to sit out because of contracting COVID-19. The other part of it is this, and I think that this is also on the table potentially. The stuff I've been banging on the table about for the last couple of weeks too, which is get there early, quarantine in Orlando. That way you can start training camp. Guys are getting tested. You don't have to do the full 2 weeks. You can just do a week. I don't know. They can figure it out. I'm sure the medical people can figure it out better than I can. You go there, and after the requisite amount of time, if guys test positive when they first arrive during the quarantine in Orlando at Walt Disney World, they're probably not going to miss games, which is kind of the point of all of this. Don't you want to insulate people? Well, to me, that's the move. So now it seems like this is all a real possibility. But there are some challenges on the horizon, okay? This isn't just like, hey, it's a done deal, it's easy, we're good to go, no problem, we're all good. It's not always the case, okay? It's not going to always be the case. For example, I was listening to the Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst, okay? And Laura, I know we have the sound. Windy talks about a number of different things. And he talks about players who won't want to be in the bubble. We'll get to that sound in a second. But what I want to hear here is just his rationale for just getting to the playoffs. Let me hear Windy.
If you sit down and actually look at the numbers, and we have talked to the people, any rational person who looks at this with a level head is going to say that this needs to be a 16-team playoffs scenario. And there's about 20 different reasons. Number one, it's half the people you got to protect, which means half the test, which means half the chances of people, you know, getting infected. Number two, after the first round of the playoffs, you reduce it by half and then by half again. It reduces the amount of time and it reduces the expense. And it solves the problem that you're going to have of lottery teams who have no hope of making the playoffs. Potentially not even, like, I don't see what the incentive, other than being a good partner, as general manager Bob Myers has said, I don't see the incentive to have Steph Curry play 1 second.
Well, Steph Curry's not the only one. Brian Windhorst, according to Damian Lillard, who spoke to Yahoo Sports this morning, he says, quote, he doesn't want to play if the Blazers are being told to fill out the schedule without a path to the postseason. He said he will plant his booty on the bench while his teammates play. So he's drawn a line, which is another reason to just forget the teams that aren't in the playoffs. At this point, reduce the amount of people that are going to be there. Give me the playoffs. Get right to it. You can have your own little exhibition amongst the playoff teams or whatnot, and you get yourself ramped up that way. That's it. Deal with it that way. Just move forward. Cut right to the chase. So here's the other thing that's being bandied about that I think we need to discuss that is actually kind of awesome. So forever, the league has been discussing, well, should we even have conferences? Can we just rank teams and seed them 1 through 16 as opposed to 1 through 8 in the East and 1 through 8 in the West? Well, in the past, the issue has been, well, travel, right? Could you imagine if you have like Portland versus Orlando or something like that, or Portland versus Miami or whatever? You know what I mean? Like Phoenix versus, Boston, right? It's just the travel is a pain in the butt. Not only for the teams, but the media and everybody that's covering these events, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now you don't have to worry about travel because everybody's going to be playing in the same place. So if you cut right to the chase, do you just seed them 1 through 16? Because 1 through 16 all of a sudden makes things look a little more interesting. What does 1 through 16 look like? Well, the Bucks are the one seed and they would play the Orlando Magic. The two seed would be the Lakers. And the Lakers would play, get this, the Brooklyn Nets. Now, why is that interesting? Because Brian Windhorst, Laura, we have that sound for you to play, is talking about, despite reports, Kevin Durant and Kyrie are getting ready if necessary.
If they did a 1 through 16 and the possibility of Brooklyn Lakers in the first round, and like Durant and Kyrie knew that this week, like it was figured out this week. Good luck even, Kevin. I know what's been said. I know what Woj just said. I got it. I'm just saying circumstances change.
So all of a sudden, if we go 1 through 16, the Lakers could end up facing Kevin Durant and Kyrie in the first round. Now, if you're the league, you love that. I don't know how I feel about that if I'm the Lakers. Now, granted, Kevin will have a training camp, so will Kyrie, but there is a difference in trying to replicate real game reps, even in exhibition games, even in training camp. Now, it would have been, by the time they play, 13 months since Durant's injury. So technically, he may be available. While the Nets and Woj, as Brian said, and everyone has said, don't do it. And I've even said, don't do it if you're Kevin Durant. I think Brian's point is that good luck convincing Kevin not to do it at that point. And I don't know how I would feel about that. Laker boy, how would you feel if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving came back in a 1 through 16 and the 2-15 matchup was Lakers-Brooklyn?
I would not be happy if the 2-15 matchup was Lakers-Brooklyn and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are playing. That would make me very, very upset. However, like you said, it does take a long time to get the guys working well together. Look at LeBron and Bosh and Wade where they started, 9-9?
9-8.
They first got together 9-8. They started, so you don't learn each other very well very quickly, so it probably wouldn't make a difference for the Lakers. But having to play, just the fact of seeing Durant and Kyrie in the first round, like that sucks for me.
I'm with you. But here's the thing. I think the Lakers still win, but you're asking them to have a real series in the first round. Now, look, you could be one of these people, and I'm curious to hear what the audience thinks at 877-710-ESPN. Iron sharpens iron, right? You know, there are people that believe that. There are people that want the path to least resistance, of least resistance. You're one of those people. You want the path of least resistance. Now, here's the other interesting thing, though. Let's just say the Lakers, will beat Brooklyn, right? Then they'd have to face the winner of Houston and Utah in a 1 through 16 scenario. Then they would have to face probably Toronto, who would come out of the bottom end, because Toronto's bottom end of the bracket, as the 3 seed overall, would have Memphis, Indiana, and Denver. Those should be winnable series for Toronto and our buddy Nick Nurse, who's going to join us in 10 minutes. And then you have Toronto Lakers. So the rest of the Lakers bracket, not as hard. Like, you do have to play the Rockets. That's tough. The Raptors are a tough team. But the other side of the bracket, the Bucks, who would be the overall one seed, would have to face Orlando, which is easy. But then they'd have to face either OKC or Miami. Then they'd have to face probably the Clippers in the Final Four, and then the Lakers. So there is also a potential, if you're the league, that if you do a 1 through 16, not only do you get Lakers versus potentially Kyrie and Kevin Durant in that first round, if those guys play, but you could end up having Lakers-Clippers in the finals.
Jeez, Lakers-Clippers in the finals would be pretty intense, and that would be fun. I could be convinced one way or the other. I just don't like the fact that that first round matchup is so tough. And if you look at, you just went over all those other matchups, and the other matchups for the top teams are not as difficult as the Lakers top first one by far.
No, not as the first one. But then after that, things get, you know, gradually less challenging, I think, at least from a star power perspective. I know the Rockets have Russ and Harden, and they can give the Lakers a little bit of a series or whatever. I don't feel like the Lakers are going to lose that series. And same with Toronto. Like, I think that they would beat Toronto, even though Toronto is a scrappy team, beat the Lakers on their home floor this year, right? Like, they certainly will test the Lakers. But the Bucks having to go through the Clippers would be way more challenging, in my opinion. And then, look, is it worth it to have Clippers and Lakers play in the finals? I think that's the question.
I think that's what they're looking at, yeah. Because also, if you look at the Western, if you just break it up by conference how it normally is, so if you do 1 through 8 like it normally is, the Lakers actually have probably a tougher road going through that afterwards, because they'd have to play the Clippers in the conference finals instead of in the finals. So you may not actually make it to the finals. This way, they probably have a better chance of making it to the finals. Look, you've convinced me a little bit the other way to go the 116 route. I think both ways kind of work.
Yeah, look, I think that remember when we were talking to Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, and we were asking him a bunch of different ways to play the Major League Baseball season, and he straight up just told us, you know what? Let's just get crazy. Let's test things out. Let's do things that are different. Let's not worry about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that if I were the NBA, I would do that. I would consider the 1 through 16. Like, seriously consider it. I would consider the play-in tournament, potentially. I would consider, you know, I definitely would have the players mic'd up. Because, and we'll get to this a little later, if there was any reason to make sure that the players are mic'd up, or that we can pick up all the sound on the court and the interactions that you're going to have with coaches and players or whatnot, the golf match between Tiger, Phil, Brady, and Manning was the perfect reason for that. Let's go to the phones. Miko in Compton. Miko, what are you doing? 1 through 16? You digging it or what?
No 1 through 16, Sedano. Not right now. Now, I'm with you. The playoffs need to start. But that makes an unfair advantage, Sedano. You're a fair man. The purpose of the regular season is you play your conference and your division top heavy. So the Lakers see the Clippers like 4 times, and they see Suns 3 times. So you get to the playoffs, it's a level playing field. The people on the East, they were supposed to be ready for Kyrie and Kevin Durant regardless. They can't say the Lakers weren't supposed to prepare for Kyrie and Kevin until the finals. On the East Coast, you can't say, oh, they got hurt and they came back. So what? You were supposed to already be prepared for them. LeBron and Kyrie and these people in the West were not prepared for the East. We weren't supposed to be preparing for East Coast teams. You prepare for your conference and your division. So right now, it's just bad for that.
So you're good on let's go right to the playoffs, but keep it traditional, 1 through 8 on each side.
Right. Keep it because of the advantage. The Lakers and the Clippers see each other. The Lakers see Portland or whoever makes it in that 8 seed. We saw them and prepared for them. We can't go against, even if they don't got Durant and Kyrie, we don't see. We only saw them one time maybe, or if we played the whole season, 2 times. But because of the COVID, you didn't get to play some of those teams maybe even once or twice.
You can't go to the playoffs
to play them when you didn't prepare at all. You weren't even supposed to prepare for Kyrie. Boston, you were supposed to prepare for Kyrie and Kevin. You just got lucky they was hurt. But if they come back, you should have already been prepared for them.
Thank you, Miko. Appreciate it. Thank you, man. Stay safe. Let me grab Peter in L.A. Peter, what do you think of this?
Well, the thing I'm thinking is that if you were injured and you were not on your team when they closed the season, when they restarted, those are the players that you should play with and not have anyone who was injured and then had all this time to rehab come back.
So you're saying you're okay with 1 through 16, but Durant specifically should not be allowed to play?
Actually, I'm not okay with 1 through 16. I would rather the two divisions still, and I would rather a 5 to 7 game finish up the regular season and then go to the playoffs.
Okay, Peter, thank you. Appreciate it. Let me grab Mitch real quick. Mitch, what do you got?
Georgie, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Great. First of all, I want to see the old style tradition, 1 through 8, and the West is much tougher. So Lakers might have it so easy. You know, I'm a Clippers fan. It's their luck that, you know, it's the season kind of messed up. Have a few exhibition games to get in shape, and Nets have no business rushing Kyrie and Durant. They're not going to win it. Why play chances with the money they spent on them?
Yeah, I wouldn't take a chance. And thank you, Mitch. Appreciate the call. I wouldn't take a chance on bringing those guys back. But as Windhorst said, good luck that trying to convince Kevin not to play in a series against LeBron if they do 1 through 16. Because that's going to be something he's going to want to do. And Kyrie, for that matter, too. So it is interesting. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll ask Nick Nurse, Toronto head coach, what he thinks about all this stuff. He's going to join us. He is a North American treasure. His story is incredible, okay? He's the only coach in the NBA ever, well, currently for sure, but to have coached overseas, in the G League, and in college. Like, his story is insane. Like, he was literally calling people to, like, try to get a job for, like, ever. And eventually, it all worked. So we're going to talk to him about his just ridiculous story of how he got to the NBA. And then we'll ask him some NBA questions, including this 1 through 16 stuff. Talk to Nick Nurse of the Toronto Raptors next. Sedano Show with you here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out their new Shower Sessions videos on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com/progressive. Happy birthday, Lauryn Hill, who you hear there. You could sing her in the shower if you'd like. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I like to call him the North American treasure. He is the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Nick Nurse, joining us here on the Sedano Show. Nick, I got to be honest. I miss talking to you so much. I figured I had to get you on the show. How the hell have you been?
I'm pretty good. I miss you too, man. I miss you too. Good to connect with you. I'm doing good. How are you?
No doubt. I'm good. Family good. Everyone healthy, safe, and sound, hopefully?
Yep. All good, man. All good. We're doing fine.
Good. Good to hear. So I wanted to bring you on because obviously there's stuff going on around the league, and I always just feel like I wanted to reconnect with you, and your story is just so interesting. I've been telling my audience about what you are. I'm not even joking when I say you're a North American treasure, just based on the way you got to the NBA, let alone winning the championship. So let's start off with an easy one. How does one go from being a good college player, good college basketball player, that's on the path to becoming an accountant, to then becoming a player coach in England, of all places?
Well, good question. You know, I went to Northern Iowa to play basketball. They had a really good accounting program there. I jumped in that and thought I'd, you know, when my playing days were over, I'd get a job and be an accountant. But as my basketball career was winding down, I think it was right before my senior year, I was like, holy smokes, I'm going to be done playing here pretty soon. And I kind of like this game a lot. I went and talked to my AD at the time. It was actually Bob Bowlsby, who's head of Big 12 now. He was the athletic director, and Elvin Miller was my coach. And I said, you guys, I know I'm really close to finishing up this accounting degree, but I think I want to coach. And Coach Miller said, sure, just hang around for another year and be one of my assistants and let's see what happens. And that was only about 30 years ago. So we've been able to stay employed as a coach since that time.
Now, I know that certainly there were challenges along the way. Look, you've told me stories about – calls you've made, letters you've written to different people. Like how many calls, how many letters do you think it took to get you actual work in basketball? Like, if you had to put a number on it.
I don't know, really. I think, I kind of wanted to play again, too. During that year, I was an assistant at Northern Iowa. I had a team in Brazil contact me and want me to play kind of like immediately, in the spring or something. And I kind of started gearing up for that. And then it fell through. And then I said, geez, I'll see if I can go play. And this is kind of it's a long time ago, pre-internet and pre-everything else. And I just got about 10 or 15 addresses through random people, Japan, Australia, England, Germany, and just kind of sent out a packet of, a resume, I guess, and some newspaper clippings or whatever, and a cover letter that said, hey, I want to play or coach overseas. And a guy called me up and said, says here you want to play or coach. How about both? I said, okay, sounds good. Let's do it. So I was on a plane a few days later to Derby, England.
Wow. And you get there, and so within days, you're there. Like, what was that like? Had you ever been overseas?
Yeah, we took one trip. We took one trip when I was about a junior, I think, at Northern Iowa. We did a Switzerland, France, Germany, 10 or 12 day trip, and played a few games over there in the summertime. I'd never been to Derby, England, and it was pretty interesting. I mean, it was, you go over, you land, the owner takes me to the pub and says to me, hey, I need you to score 25 a night. And I kind of say, I average like 10 points a game in college. It's not really my thing. I get the ball up the floor and start the offense for you if you want. But he goes, hey, you need to score. And, we had a game about 4 days after I got there. And kind of, I guess I realized what he was talking about. It was better to hoist a few more up than I was accustomed to. That was kind of fun. Gave myself the green light as a head coach and player. It was good.
So what challenges did that present, though? I would imagine there had to have been some, right, as you're a player and the coach.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, this is probably going to sound, well, I don't know how it's going to sound. I'll tell you, one of the first challenges, I remember being out there, playing and, playing hard and, trying to set an example of playing D and, if we run wind sprints, I'd try to win them and, shooting drills, I'd try to win them, whatever. But you get tired and you're still trying to, you're trying to catch your breath, and then you're still having to give instructions and in between drills and all that kind of stuff. So getting used to talking with, when you're winded was one of the first challenges that we had.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, that couldn't have been easy. Nick Nurse joining us here, world champion head coach for the Toronto Raptors. Nick, you're the only coach in the NBA that's been a head coach in the NCAA, the G League, and overseas. So I'm going to ask you just a series of questions about these experiences first, before we get into the current NBA and what you've got going on now. What part of that path, the G League, NCAA, or overseas, was the most humbling for you?
It was the overseas. It was the overseas, for sure. When I was a player coach there at Derby, this is the best story I can tell you. I remember our first game was down at a team called the London Docklands, and they were getting ready to announce the starting lineups, and this guy went out to kind of midcourt, and he had a mic, and the mic wasn't working, so he just set it down and shouted out the starting lineup with no mic or anything. So I kind of leaned over to the other American guy I was playing with, and I said, man, we've really hit the big time here, man. So that was probably it,
Okay, that's fair. Now, the next question may be the same answer, because that was pretty interesting. But which one... of those experiences, the NCAA, G League, or overseas, which one was the most interesting for you?
Oh, the overseas, for sure. It got interesting like the second time around for me. So I went to be a player coach at Derby, And then literally that next year, I got offered the head coaching job at Grandview University in Des Moines, Iowa, near where I'm from. So I only played for a year, and I started coaching. Went to the University of South Dakota to do a master's degree and be an assistant there. And then I went back to England. But I kind of like regretted my first time around that I didn't get out and see more of Europe and things like that. And they did a bunch of breaks during the season. They used to break for a couple weeks for national team break and things like that. And I was determined the second time around to, you know, jump on a plane or put my car on a boat and go over to Belgium or France or whatever, any break that I got. So I started getting out and seeing, you know, just every place I could see. And that was, you know, as you can imagine, that was awesome. That was fun.
Yeah, for sure. And then last one on those three, experiences, which one was the most rewarding?
They're all great. You know, I think it's hard to beat the D League experience, the G League. You know, I think that was of all the places you coach, that's kind of got the most level playing field. You know, like almost every team's under the same circumstances. There's, you know, none of the guys are getting paid. It's not like you can go, you know, buy a bunch of expensive players or any of that stuff. Everybody's kind of, you know, playing under the exact same rules, and the games were great. The players were great, fun to coach. I think the experience there for those 6 years I was a head coach in the minor leagues was the most valuable, probably.
Nick Nurse, champion head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. The G League experience, though, I mean, so many players in and out. You and I have talked about this off camera before. How much did that help you in your first season in Toronto, particularly with managing Kawhi in and out of the lineup?
Well, I think it helped a lot. I think, you know, it's hard to deal with. I think my first year in the D League with the Iowa Energy, it was something, you know, when you're rolling right along and four guys are gone and four new guys come in and you got a game in, you know, 24 hours or something, trying to manage all that, rebuild chemistry, redefine roles, teach as fast as you can, you know, all that stuff. I think it took a little bit to get used to, but once you get used to it, I always say you're kind of doing that, you know, about 10 times a year every season, and it kind of gets you ready for anything, you know, playing injured guys, missing guys. You know, we had guys in and out of the lineup as everybody does, but it really gets you kind of conditioned to it. And you just, you know, when the ball goes up, you got to figure out a way, no matter who's playing or who isn't, home or away, or 7 o'clock or 11 a.m. or whatever, all the scenarios you end up playing in the minors. So you kind of get conditioned to that.
Nick, how did you approach the team with that Kawhi situation, with the load management and him being in and out of the lineup? Because that, as you mentioned, in the G League, that's more traditional. Guys are in and out for a bunch of different reasons. But how did you approach it with the NBA squad with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, first of all, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I think that I tried to, you know, educate him a little bit, you know, and say, hey, the guy hasn't played in, you know, over a year or whatever it was. And to be honest with you, I was surprised he was where he was when we got him. I was probably anticipating it being a lot slower process of getting him ingrained in the team, but he was kind of, you know, ready from day one of training camp. And, you know, his first preseason game, we were like, okay, we know what we got here. This guy's pretty good. But we did, you know, we just educated him, told him, hey, this is a bit of a process. That we're going to take, and we're playing the long game here. We want to, you know, slowly bring him in, manage the minutes, manage the games, and make sure that not only him, but we're all firing on all cylinders late in the year.
You know, guys that I've talked to on your squad and guys on his current squad will say, you guys in the media don't know that he's actually way more engaging behind the scenes than he would ever let you guys know. What is he like as a dude?
Oh, he's a great dude, man. First of all, he's quiet, you know, obviously, you know, everybody knows that, but he's funny as well. You know, he's one of those guys that when he does land one, that it seems to have more impact because he's not trying to land them constantly. You know what I mean? his jokes are seem to be pretty funny when he does throw them out there. But great to coach. You know, was always super engaged and you know, was nodding his head. You know, paying attention. He was always locked in. That was super enjoyable for certainly from anybody, but for a guy of his caliber.
When he hit the shot against Philly, like, what's going through your mind? Like, does time stop there when he hits that shot that bounces like four times?
Yeah, I mean, it's always just relief. I think there's a lot of, you know, build up tension. It's a game seven. It's a playoff series that's been going on for a number of days. And when those things go in, like, all that tension and stress just kind of leaves your body from your head to your toes slowly, and you just feel pretty relieved and happy, certainly, that you get to live to go on to the next round. But yeah, that was a pretty cool moment.
Nick Nurse, champion head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. Nick, in your career as a coach, you seem to love to experiment, try things out, right? Everyone made a huge deal about your box and one defense on Steph and just your adjustments constantly. What's something you've asked players to do at any level that they looked at you and they were like, this dude is nuts?
Oh, man. That's a long list of things. That's a long list of things. But I don't know. I think that, you know, when I was at Rio Grande Valley coaching the Vipers, the G League team for the Houston Rockets, you know, we were very experimental there. They encouraged it. They wanted to try lots of things. And I think, you know, originally it's pretty common knowledge now about, you know, the layups and the threes, that when we were, you know, I was trying to really enforce it. And this is back in 8 or 9 years ago now, I guess. But some of the guys would, you know, just look. And we literally, when we walked on the practice floor, we'd never, ever let them shoot a non-paint two, not even warming up. Or once they crossed the line to practice, we'd never, ever let them shoot it. So there was a lot of head scratching and a lot of questionable looks shot my direction for a couple weeks around there, that's for sure.
I bet. Nick Nurse with us here. Nick, the year you won the championship, Danny Green, who's now with the Lakers, and Fred VanVleet, mm-hmm. who's still with your squad, both had real struggles during the playoffs, particularly from the outside. But yet, in some of the biggest moments, you trusted them. Like, Green told me a story not that long ago about you drawing up a play for him in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals against Milwaukee. You guys were tied at 96, and you drew up a play for him. Like you said, it's coming to you, and he nailed it. Like, what goes into those kind of decisions?
Well, I remember that one. I think, first of all, it's something you think that is going to be there. You know, I think Danny maybe hadn't hit a shot yet in the game, or he was, again, I don't know exactly, but one first, you know, pretty decent number probably. But it just felt like, hey, listen, I saw something here. We're going to run this action. I'm almost positive you're going to be wide open, you know, and I need you to stick it, you know, and you're going to stick it. So that's it, really, you know.
I mean, we always hear about buy-in, and those guys, you know, and your guys now still, obviously, they all buy in. And relationships, Nick, are hard in general, you know, particularly in pro sports. So you're a guy we always hear, man, Nick really knows his guys. How challenging is it to get buy-in and most of all, maintain it?
Well, I think that's kind of where a lot of it starts, right? You got to get some buy-in, and it really starts from, like, meeting one. You know, you start laying out your vision and the plan and the process of how you're going to get there. And then, you know, you take the floor and you start executing some of it. And obviously, if the guys are feeling comfortable in it and having some success, they're going to buy in. You know, that's just kind of a momentum thing that keeps on rolling. And, you know, it's really all we try to do. We try to get them and use their strengths and limit their weaknesses, give them great game plans, make some adjustments if things aren't working, admit it when we're wrong. You know, we weren't right on that game plan. We'll change it quick. You know, what do you guys see? Have some feedback from them. You know, all those things kind of pile together, I would say.
Nick, as far as the latest that's going on now, there's obviously a lot of momentum towards playing the resumption of the season in Orlando at Walt Disney World. I would imagine, though, that would create some challenges for a number of teams, including yours, right? Like, what is the plan there? Would the plan, would the preferred plan for you be to have your team just eventually all meet and go straight to Orlando and quarantine there or do whatever is necessary to get the season going again?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of plans that are still on the table, right? I don't, like you said, it sounds like we're going to Orlando. That's single site. That seems to be, talked about pretty heavily here in these last few days. You know, other than that, you know, where are we going to meet? What's going to happen? What's the training camp preseason? What kind of games are they going to play before they get to the eventual playoff? I think is all still on, many ideas still on the table. And I think that, when they tell us what they are, we'll put an action plan together and get ready to attack it,
What do you make of the possibility, because this has been floated out recently, of seeding 1 through 16? Would you like to see something like that?
I'm okay with that. Again, I think that two things I've been saying is coaching a lot of scenarios and a lot of, been in pool play and Olympics and World Cups and all that kind of stuff and just about every type of tournament format you can think of. And the other thing is, as you know, I coached the first about 20 years of my life in front of no fans, so I'm going to be pretty comfortable there. So I think we'll go whatever way they set it up. We'll be happy to be playing, man. That's the main thing. Happy to be playing and give our best shot at it.
Not that this would affect you, but what do you make of a play-in tournament for the 7th and 8th seed?
I think it's interesting. I think all the scenarios that they're throwing out there, have some merit to them. There's certainly, I think, people see some opportunity to try something different. I think on the other side of the fence, there'll be a lot of traditionalists there that'll say, hey, it's got to be the 8 teams and East versus West and how it's always been and things like that. So, I don't know. I guess it's, I kind of ride right down the middle, I think I'm not going to be too upset with any format they come with. I'm going to be, again, excited to play and get ready to attack whatever they throw out there.
I think the one thing we've learned about you historically, even if people didn't know you here, is that you're malleable, Nurse. There's no question about that. You can adapt.
Well, I've been in a lot of situations, man. I've been all over the world, around the block a few times, and it makes you become a little bit more adaptable.
For sure. Nick Nurse, champion head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. Hey, Nick, man, great catching up with you. Hopefully we will see you on the floor soon and maybe even in Orlando. So thanks again for taking the time. Stay safe and healthy, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. There he is. Nick Nurse, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. All right. Coming up next, we're going to get you the latest update. All right. There is a situation brewing in the NBA, if you haven't heard. We'll get to that. Plus, Charles Barkley is the antidote for all our problems. I'll explain what that means coming up in a second. Stick around. Sedano, back in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. That was Nick Nurse giving us the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And if you missed Nick Nurse, or you're not going to be able to stick around for Chris Bosh at 11:15, go check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One Saver Card, or earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? And of course, brought to us by our friends at Navy Federal Credit Union, where they have one mission: to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. Real quick, we want to shout some people out, okay? We've talked about this a lot during the show. At 710 ESPN, we want to make sure to formally salute all of our frontline workers and thank them for their bravery and tireless work during this COVID-19 pandemic. So look, guys, if you know someone who's working as a healthcare provider, EMS worker, food service professional, police, firefighters, you can nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email us at ESPN LA Marketing. That's ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com. That's the email address. and provide first and last name, city, and occupation. Or you can post a short video nominating your frontline worker on Twitter, Instagram, using the hashtag 710ThankYouThursdays. That's hashtag 710ThankYouThursdays. Every Thursday, we'll reward a frontline worker with a thank you gift prize pack that includes a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change and a $100 gift card from Wingstop, Shooteria.com, and Versus Liquor. Thank You Thursdays is presented by Valvoline. Pull into your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change for 20% off any service, plus grocery workers, delivery drivers, medical and first responders get an additional 10% off. All you got to do is show your ID. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to get this offer and find locations. So, if you know someone, nominate them. ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com is the email address, first, last name, city, and occupation, or hit them up on Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag 710ThankYouThursdays. All right, cool. That's a cool thing. Bergman, did you come up with that?
No, that was an Amanda thing, actually. So she did
Boss
a great job.
Betty
yeah.
pantsuit over there. Doing
coming in
things.
Strong. Yes.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Good stuff. So make sure that if you're in the audience, nominate those people that you know, frontline workers. They deserve all our love right now. I don't think there's any question. Did you like Nick Nurse? I know you've never met him or heard him probably even.
I mean, I've heard him after games, you know, in the finals and whatnot, but no, I've never met him or anything. I thought he was great. So look, he's a great storyteller, just like you were talking about. He's got that, you know, just like, I'm just happy to be here vibe and just these great stories of how he came up. I thought it was fun. I like
he's got an everyman vibe to him. He's got a real story. Like all of us can understand that grind of writing letters to people or calling people and trying to get a job. Like everyone can relate to that, which is why I wanted to talk to him, just because I feel like even though he's not the Lakers or Clippers coach, like he's an interesting personality. Like he's just got a hell of a story. So he comes across as like an everyman. Laura, did you like Nick?
I loved how humble he is. I really related to that hustle and bustle grind that we all go through. So, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just an easy dude to get along with. Like, you could see why players like playing for him. It kind of reminds me of Vogel in a lot of ways. Vogel, Bergman, is very much an everyman. You know what I'm saying? And Doc, too, is super relatable. You know, the difference is Doc played in the NBA. But, like, Frank and Nick have a lot in common that way.
Yeah, no, they definitely do. So, I mean, they seem like they came up kind of the same way.
Well,
I don't know.
No, a little different. I mean, Frank worked for Patino and then kind of went that route. You know what I'm saying? Like, whereas Nick had a little more obstacles to run through. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the whole thing with Nick where he was, you know, he was going to be an accountant and then somehow ends up being a player coach in Europe and then finds his way to the What was it, the D-League? It was the D-League at that
it
time.
It was the D-League back then. It wasn't called
right.
yet.
Yeah. Right, right. It was the D-League. And then he finds his way. Like, when they hired him in Toronto, there was nobody that was thinking, Nick Nurse, that's a great hiring.
No, he was the assistant coach for a couple years for Dwayne Casey. And then they promoted him. People were like, okay. They thought, like, the initial reaction was, oh, puppet. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because Masai Ujiri brought him onto the staff. And not the case at all. Obviously, like he does a lot of crazy things on the court. That whole boxing one thing everyone was freaking out about over the finals. Like, he doesn't care. Like, he's like, what the hell? I almost cursed. I almost said bleep it. Like, that's his attitude about that stuff. And, you know, if it works, it works. He's basically telling you, you can't be afraid to try stuff. Speaking of you can't be afraid to try stuff, you're a golf guy. What did you make of the match part two? I thought it was fun. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I clearly think having Barkley there, though, was huge just for levity and having like a fun personality there.
I mean, if you put Barkley into any situation, it's always going to be a fun situation. So I'm happy with that. I mean, I like the fact that I was able to watch Tom Brady and think to myself, all right, he's not good at everything. So that made me feel pretty good until
he stunk at the beginning.
Until he sunk a shot from the fairway, you know, that always was fun. But besides that, he just wasn't the trash talk I loved. I love the fact that they're sitting on a golf course and trash talking. I just thought it was just a fun watch. It was easy.
By the way, I'll get back to, it was long. It took a long, long time. The weather didn't help. I'll get back to the golf thing in a second. I literally just looked at my phone because there was a text from Michael Thompson.
Uh-oh.
And when we were talking about Nick Nurse, and he simply just texted me, he should have been a doctor.
Dr. Nurse. That's such a Michael Thompson way to say things.
Such a dad joke. So funny.
it's like more than a dad joke, though. It's a Michael Thompson joke, and that it is makes funny. It so much
Imagine
better.
If he would have been Dr. Nurse, that actually would have been pretty hilarious. Actually, thank you, Michael, for that text. It made me laugh.
National treasure, Michael Thompson. I love him.
National North American and Caribbean treasure, Michael Thompson, and North American treasure, Nick Nurse.
Yeah, there you go.
So I love the golf thing for a number of reasons. The fact that Brady stunk at the beginning, I actually thought was good because, as you pointed out, people were like on social media going, "Yeah, Tommy, you stink just like I do," right? Like,
right.
It was super relatable, and then it allowed everyone to make fun of him. Peyton was good and fun, like he always is. Like, he's got a big personality, and I was actually surprised that Phil, like, I know Phil was selling this, but Phil's personality kind of came across too. And I'm not a big Phil guy. And then, you know, at the end or towards the end, Phil and Brady made a comeback that fell short, so it made it a little more compelling. But 6 million people tuned into that thing.
I mean, it was live sports. It was something for people to watch, and especially on a, you know, on a Sunday when you have the day off the next day, which, I mean, whatever. But it was just a fun watch, and it was an easy watch, and it was fun for, like, with, you were talking about Barkley before. Barkley, like, ribbing into Tom Brady a little bit is always fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, he bet him that he couldn't hit the fairway, right? Like
right.
Greens. He was just betting him money all the time and losing. Like, and now granted, all the money they raised, the $20 million, was for COVID relief, which is awesome. But I'm pretty sure Barkley, knowing Charles, had some side action going on there as well. Between him and Brady is my guess.
Oh yeah, there was. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. So we were talking earlier, 1 through 16, the NBA is considering seeding their playoffs because there's no travel, 1 through 16. So people are not loving it necessarily. You heard Nurse, right? He didn't seem to be into it, Greg. Like, he's not, he's like, just kind of keep it as it is. Now, if they change it, like, I can deal with it, because clearly if you heard the interview, he's dealt with a lot. But he didn't seem to be a huge fan of it.
He also didn't seem to be totally against it either. He was like, "I'm okay with the 1 through 16 seeding. I just want to get out there and play."
He just wants to get everybody ready.
Yeah. Right, but yeah. I mean, he didn't seem like he was so against it. I mean, you have it right in front of you. Is the path for Toronto tougher?
So Toronto, the Toronto path. Let me look it up here because I have to fight through a bunch of texts because it's on my phone. So Toronto would start with Memphis. They'd be the 3-14 matchup. Then they'd face the winner of Indiana, Denver. And then they could potentially face the Lakers in the final four. So I actually think Toronto's path is easier until they get to the Lakers.
Right. The first couple rounds are not that bad. We were talking about it in the break just a minute ago. The Clippers actually have a very tough path both ways.
Yeah, the Clippers' path is tough. Like, if they do 1 through 16, they'd have to face Dallas in the first round, which is, you know, a tough Western Conference opponent. They'd have to face the winner of Boston-Philly in the second round. That's not easy. And then in the final four, because it wouldn't be called the conference finals anymore, they would have Milwaukee, which clearly is tough, but you'd have the opportunity of playing the Lakers in the finals. And I think that's the best of all worlds if you're the NBA. You get LeBron in the finals and the team that has given them the most trouble, right? Like, that's a ratings winner, I think.
So how much does it matter to you that they're both from Los Angeles? Like, for us, if you're in L.A.
anymore. I don't think that matters anymore.
You don't think it matters?
Because their TV, their Christmas Day game got huge numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think that if you had a series, I don't think it matters. I think right now people just want sports.
Well, yeah, that's part of it too. But I mean, to have LeBron James and Anthony Davis versus Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the finals, that's almost too good to pass up.
I mean, and the city here, we would love it. Like, I think we'd love it. Let me ask. Let me go to the phones. 877-710-ESPN. Eric in Mission Viejo. Eric, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, shout out to MT. I actually want to know if there's a Dr. Nurse out there somewhere. But
you know anyway. What? Next time I have Nick on, I will ask him. Is there a Dr. Nurse in the family?
Yeah, somewhere that has to happen. No, I love the 1 through 16. I think it should happen for sure. I mean, I'm a little partial, you know, towards it because the Lakers can play the Clippers, and of course, you know, LA wants that. But I think the whole basketball world wants that. And the guy that was saying nobody is prepared to play whoever earlier, and we need to stay in the conferences, and everybody needs to play. No, nothing is the way it should be at this point. So a 1 through 16 would be perfect.
Yeah, I like it. I'm with you. And by the way, you'll have a full training camp to prepare for your first round opponent. Like, I think that there's that. And
thanks, yeah, exactly.
Thanks for the call, Eric. Appreciate it. Stay safe. All right, we'll continue this. 877-710-ESPN. We'll open it up to you. Would you like to see it? Because it would mean Clippers-Lakers potentially in the finals. But you might have to face Kyrie and KD in a return in the first round if you're the Lakers. So we've got that coming up on the other side. Plus, Michael Jordan is full of it. We'll tell you what that's about. Chris Bosch at 11:15 as well. Make sure you stay tuned for that. It's the Sedano Show, back in 2.5 minutes.